Hey, everybody, it's Pastor Brian Ross from Grace Life Bible Church in Grand Rapids, Michigan. We want to welcome you once again to this midweek video. We appreciate you tuning in as always. If you haven't already done so, if you would consider subscribing and ringing the alarm bell here on YouTube as a way of staying current with the ministry. We go live from our assembly building on Sunday morning, as well as when we create content for you here midweek. We would certainly appreciate that. I also want to remind you about our Rumble channel here, Grace Life Bible Church on Rumble. We established this as an alt-text site. Should something happen to our YouTube ministry. So if you're an alt-text site, so we'd just like an alternative to YouTube, please check us out here on Rumble as well. My featured book in this video is my book, Don't Pass Over Easter, A New Defense of Easter in Acts 12:4. We're coming up on that time of the year where the issue of Easter in Acts 12:4 in the King James Bible gets debated and discussed quite frequently. So if you would like a different perspective on that, a new defense of why I should read Easter, why Easter is not an incorrect reading, please pick up a copy of that book and check that information out. So those of you that have been following the channel, you know of late here that we have been responding to David Preston's video critique of our paper, the Apocrypha in the King James Bible. This paper was written, just a short little essay, in 2012 to answer some questions that some folks had sent me. And it has been critiqued by David Preston on his YouTube channel. And again, that is, let's just see if we can find this relatively quickly, this video right here, The Apocrypha and the King James Bible. Now, I've basically covered everything that I want to cover related to that video. We've played the first nearly over an hour of it, and we've heard what David Preston said, and we've interacted with some of the claims that he makes and some of the statements that he says regarding his thoughts of his personal thoughts on the Apocrypha, as well as his critique of what I said in the short paper. Now, he's also released a couple of shorts here related to this topic that I just want to briefly cover in this video. So we have The Truth About the Apocrypha, Jesus Quoted the Apocrypha, and Prophecy of Jesus in the Apocrypha. So we're going to play each one of these. They're only about a minute or so long. And just get some further thoughts on where David Preston is coming from on this particular topic. So here's the first one, The Truth About the Apocrypha.
If your Bible doesn't have the Apocrypha, you don't have a complete Bible. If you think Protestant Bibles are smaller than Catholic Bibles, you're wrong.
So the first thing he says is that basically no Apocrypha equals not a complete Bible. So this is a stronger argument than what he was saying in his response to my paper. Here is the clear statement that the Apocrypha is scripture. If the Apocrypha is left out of a King James Bible, you don't have a complete Bible. So the Apocrypha must be in a King James Bible in order for your Bible to be complete, according to what David Preston is saying here.
Right here, I have my very own King James Bible with the Apocrypha. Cambridge here. They've been publishing this for over 400 years. Cambridge has been given rights by the crown to do so. Let me show you something that's really...
So we've addressed this issue. I showed you in the last video that early on there are Cambridge printings that left out the Apocrypha. He's showing you the Cameo edition. I showed you how that is an option right now on the Cambridge University Press website to buy the Cameo edition either with or without the Apocrypha. So not all Cambridge editions necessarily contain the Apocrypha.
Interesting. In my Apocrypha, King James Bible that is, I have numerous scripture references listed throughout it. And these scripture references link the Old and New Testament with the Apocrypha.
So I just have a question about those marginal notes or those center column cross references. Whose cross references are those? Are those the original cross-references of the King James translators from the 1611 edition, or are those added by some editor related to the Cambridge University Press? And is David Preston therefore saying that those marginal or center column notes are also scripture? It's a little unclear what he means there.
You know what's more important? That the Apocrypha here is linked with the New Testament, and within the New Testament, we learn that Jesus, Paul, and 12 all quoted and built doctrine off of the Apocrypha.
So the 12, the apostles, they quote the Apocrypha and they build doctrine off the Apocrypha according to the assertion. Now, again, that is not the position that has been the prevailing position in Protestantism since the time of Martin Luther. All right. And we've seen that. We looked at James's political writings. We saw his response to Bellarmine. We've seen some of these things as we've engaged with this material. All right. So that is the end of the first video that we want to engage with here. Let me cue up the second. Okay, we're going to look now at the second video, which is Jesus quoted from the Apocrypha. This is the second short, and we have more to say about this one probably than we do the first or the third that's coming next. So here we go.
Did you know that Jesus Christ quoted from the Apocrypha? In Matthew chapter 23, verses 37 through 38, Jesus foretells the destruction of Jerusalem and the second temple. In verse 37, it says this, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate.
So what he's saying here is that Jesus is quoting from the Apocrypha in Matthew 27, verses 37 through 38. So here's the passage. This is the original 1611. O Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. Okay, now you'll see here, this is the original 1611. You'll see that there's a note here to go to Esdras, 2nd Esdras or 4th Esdras. It gets a little confusing. I'll explain in a minute about Esdras, chapter 1, verse 30. So what Preston is asserting here is that Jesus is quoting from 2nd Esdras, okay? Now, here's what I would just simply say, okay? First of all, where in any of this does Jesus say, have ye not read, or what saith the scriptures, or as it is written? Any of the standard things that are said by New Testament writers when they're making a clear quotation or allusion to the Old Testament. That's not in the text here in Matthew chapter 27. This is just a statement. Matthew is presenting this just as a statement that the Lord Jesus Christ is making. He's not using the language here that is indicative of a new Old Testament quote or Old Testament allusion. Again, these come in a variety of different formats. As it is written, have you not read? What saith the scripture? Did you not read? Phrases like that are clear indications of when a New Testament author or speaker is clearly quoting or alluding to the Old Testament. That's not here, okay? Now, we can look at 1st Esdras. Here it is. We can look at verse 30. And you can see in the 1611 that it's telling you to, that there could be a place to look at there in Matthew. Now, I would say, the question I have is Jesus quoting from 2nd Esdras, or is 2nd Esdras copying Jesus, okay? Copying the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? Sounds to me like 2nd Esdras is written after the book of Matthew, and the author of 2nd Esdras is quoting Matthew, not the other way around. But let's hear a few more things, and I'll make a few more comments.
Interestingly enough, Jesus Christ quotes a prophecy about the destruction of the first temple from 2 Esdras chapter 1, verses 30 and 33. It reads, I gathered you together as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings. But now, what shall I do unto you? I will cast you out from my face. Verse 33 says, Thus saith the Almighty Lord, your house is desolate. I will cast you out as the wind doth the stubble. Ladies and gentlemen, if you need proof, there's your proof.
So David Preston takes that as proof that the Lord Jesus Christ is quoting from 2nd Esdras, and that he believed, Christ that is, believed that 2nd Esdras was scripture. Okay. Now, we have to look at some things related to 2nd Esdras. Now, this is from a book. This is the 5th edition, fully revised, New Oxford Annotated Apocrypha. And this is an annotated edition of the Apocrypha, and this is done by a gentleman named Michael D. Coogan. Okay. Now we're going to zoom in here on this page where 2nd Esdras is introduced. And there's a couple points here that I need to make. Okay. Now look at It's talking here about the canonical status. Second Esdras is considered apocryphal, that is not non-canonical, but instructive in both Roman Catholic and Protestant traditions. Since the Council of Trent, 1546, it has been placed together with First Esdras and the Prayer of Manasseh in an appendix in the Latin Vulgate Bible. Second Esdras is not included in the Septuagint or any Jewish canon. That means that if you buy the standard party line about the Septuagint, that it was done before the time of the Lord Jesus Christ, that this could not, Second Esdras was not in the Septuagint. It was not in the Greek translation of the Hebrew Old Testament before the time of the Lord Jesus Christ. So how could the Lord Jesus Christ be quoting Second Esdras? Okay, it makes more sense that Second Esdras is quoting from the book of Matthew. We can look at the authorship here. Traditionally, Second Esdras has been considered a writing of the biblical figure Ezra. For modern scholars, however, Ezra is a pseudonym, and all three components of Second Esdras are thought to be of unknown authorship. It should be noted that Sixth Esdras, as it stands, is anonymous. And then we can look at the dating. Fourth Esdras, the longest and most complex of the three parts of Second Esdras, is also the earliest, written in Hebrew by an anonymous Jew. So this would be the portion that Christ is referring to, according to Preston, in First Esdras, Second Esdras 1, an anonymous Jew in Israel near the end of the first century CE. That would be AD. So he's writing after the book of Matthew was written. It sets forth its author's anguished reflection on the destruction of Jerusalem and its temple by the Romans in 70 CE. So scholars of the Apocrypha are very clear that, first of all, it was written after the Septuagint, so it could not have been, it's not even in existence at the time of the Lord Jesus Christ, at the timing of the writing of the, at the time of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, or the writing of the book of Matthew, for Matthew to quote, okay? And moreover, the portion that's being quoted here doesn't even exist until the end of the first century AD. So the evidence suggests that Christ is not quoting from Second Esdras, and therefore meaning to say that it's scripture. He doesn't use any of the formulaic statements, as it is written, have you not read, what saith the scripture, and such statements. Rather, the author of Second Esdras is quoting from Matthew, as we can see that. Okay. There's a couple more things that I want to say about this topic. Let's look at another book. This is The Apocrypha by David A. De Silva, and notice what he says. The book of Second Esdras is actually a composite work. The core, Second Esdras 3 through 4, now often referred to as 4 Esdras, is a Jewish apocalypse written at the end of the first century CE or AD. Its author wrestles with the big questions of his day concerning God's providence and justice. All right, we could scroll down here. The prologue, Esdras, Second Esdras 1 through 2, often called 5 Esdras, is a Christian edition from the second century. So all of the major scholars of the Apocrypha do not ascribe or assign the book of Second Esdras to a time predating the Lord Jesus Christ, in a way that David Preston is asserting here. So he is taking this as absolute proof. What I mean by this is the statement here from Matthew about the hen gathering her chickens and et cetera from Second Esdras 1 as absolute proof that Christ viewed the Apocrypha as scripture, and that this was written way before the time of the Lord Jesus Christ, this being Second Esdras. This just does not check out, okay? And I want to say a couple more things about this, okay? So in Acts chapter 17, Paul is on Mars Hill, and he quotes the Epicurean and Stoic philosophers in his address to the superstitious Gentiles on Mars Hill, Acts 17, verse 28. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we also are the offspring of God. So here's my question. Does that mean that these Epicurean and Stoic philosophers, that their writing that Paul's quoting is also scripture? Of course not. So even if, which I say I do not believe, but even if the Lord Jesus Christ is a meaning to allude to Second Esdras chapter 1 in the book of Matthew, That doesn't mean by any stretch of the imagination that the Lord Jesus Christ called it or believed that it was scripture, because Paul is alluding here to the poets of the Epicureans and Stoics and their philosophy and the things that they've written. But that's not, that doesn't mean that he thought it was scripture. So I reject David Preston's premise that Second Esdras was written before the time of Christ. But even if it was, and the Lord alluded to it in that statement there that we read in the book of Matthew, doesn't mean that he believed that it was scripture. It just doesn't. We could also look here at Titus chapter 1. Paul writes to Titus on Crete, and notice what he says in Titus chapter 1, verse 12. One of themselves, even a poet of their own, said, the Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. So in Titus chapter 1, Paul quotes the Cretan philosophers. Does that mean that their writing is scripture? Well, obviously not. So biblical writers can allude to non-scriptural texts, even mention those texts, and that does not make those other texts scripture. So I think there are some serious issues with the way that David Preston is arguing these things. Now, let's get rid of this and go to the third short here. So just bear with me for a moment while I cue that up. And now we're going to look at the third short here, Prophecy of Jesus in the Apocrypha.
Ladies and gentlemen, did you know that the book of 2 Esdras, hundreds of years before the Messiah would be born?
So there is again, 2 Esdras. So he's basing this video on the same premise that he based the previous short, that 2 Esdras is written hundreds of years before the Messiah was born. Okay, No reputable scholar of the apocryphal information believes that about 2 Esdras. They think that it was clearly written after the New Testament documents were written, part of it at the end of the first century AD, another part of it, the prologue, chapters 1 and 2, into the second century AD, not in the Septuagint, did not exist before the time of the Lord Jesus Christ, if you buy the standard thinking about the Septuagint.
Prophesy his very name. The book of 2 Esdras was written before the fall of the first temple. And it says this in chapter 7, starting in verse 27.
So it's written before the fall of the first temple, and it's in chapter 27. So let's just go back here and look at a couple of the sources here. So chapter 7 would be a part of this part. Okay. 2 Esdras 3:3-14, often referred to as 4th Esdras, written at the end of the first century. All right, we could see the same thing here again when we looked at this resource. So the sources here are saying the same thing that is contrary to what David Preston is asserting here, that this was written hundreds of years, that the Esdras, 2 Esdras, was written hundreds of years before the time of Christ.
And whosoever is delivered from the aforesaid evils shall see my wonders. For my son Jesus shall be revealed with those that be with him. And they that remain shall rejoice within 400 years. After these years shall my son Christ die, and all men that have life. Ladies and gentlemen, the book of 2 Esdras was written hundreds of years before Jesus was ever born, and it prophesied his very name.
The problem I have with that is that if you run a search for the name Jesus, there is no pre-New Testament document, even in the canonical Old Testament, that specifically calls Jesus by his name Jesus. Okay, this is there. I've done the search. I've run it through, and he is first called Jesus in the New Testament. So it's more logical to think that whoever wrote 2 Esdras had the New Testament documents on the table before them. That's why they alluded to the hen gathering her chickens, and that's why they're using the name Jesus, a name that is not used specifically in that format until the New Testament. So to use that phrase like we see here in the video, okay, is to use a name for Jesus that isn't used and would not have been used by Hebrews in writing the Old Testament. Okay, it's a name that is used to refer to Christ after the New Testament is written. So I think there are serious issues with some of the thinking and the logic that's going on here as an attempt to to really try to justify why the Apocrypha books are scripture. And that is the main argument here. Now, again, David Preston did not make that his main contention in his video review of my short paper, but that is the position that he is taking up in the forthcoming debate with Steve Christie on February 9, that the Apocrypha more not only should be left in the King James Bible, but is scripture on par with the rest of the canonical Old Testament and New Testament books. So hopefully this short review of the three shorts here has given you something to think about as you think through some of these issues related to Second Esdras and its relationship to the New Testament. It just does not, the evidence does not suggest that it is written before the time of Christ by hundreds of years, as has been asserted here. So as always, we appreciate you listening. If you've enjoyed this series, please like this video, leave a comment, share it. Also, just to encourage you, if you've never trusted Jesus Christ, if you never relied exclusively on his death for you on the cross, his shed blood for you there as the only total complete payment for your sin, and his resurrection the third day, the victor over sin and death, God loves you. Christ died for your sin, all right? He's offering you eternal life today as a free gift. All you have to do is stop relying and trusting in your own ability, your own work, your own performance, your own effort, and rely and trust exclusively on what he has done for you and receive the free gift of eternal life. Christ loves you. He died for your sin. He was buried. He rose again. Trust Jesus Christ today before it's everlasting too late. Thanks for your attention, and we'll see you next time.